B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let's go. 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. Will is brought to you by Dunkin'. America runs on Dunkin'.
You're sponsored, sir. Sponsored.
Oh, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Mr. Will Brinson. Hello, sir.
No, whoa. Where's my sweet donut cash?
If you ask nicely to Rick Radzik, he will send you a plethora of Dunkin' Donuts gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for a fact, my friend.
Well, I mean, look, you know, I prefer cold, hard cash, but the next best thing is Dunkin' Donuts gift cards. Let's go.
Listen, Mike Gorman does it for...
steaks.
For steaks, so...
I do it for beer out in San Diego, so that's, you know.
Oh, they give you beer?
Yeah, they mail me, IPAs from San Diego.
All right, well, you could mail you beer.
Sure.
Why not?
Sam Adams, actually, you guys got good beer.
We'll get you the Dunkin' Donuts beer that comes out once a year. Harpoon, I think, it does a Dunkin' Donuts beer, yeah.
It's by law, you have to have a Dunkin' Donuts product if you manufacture anything in the New England area. All right, so, Will, what is going on with Deshaun Watson? You are the only person who said that the league might not step in and do anything, and here we are. We know Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback of the Texans, but... What like, is he going to be on the sideline? Like, what's going on?
He's going to be on. First of all, it feels like a massive screw up by the league in general, just to allow this to sort of get to where it is. They don't want to interfere in the criminal investigation or, the civil proceedings. They want to let that all run its course before they do anything. You have the commissioner's exempt list right there. He's going to be getting paid anyway. So why not put him on that until this is all, all finished? I mean, again, they're not going to do anything, apparently. And so the Texans are now going to have to use an active roster spot. They already have probably the worst roster in the league. And one of their roster spots is going to be used every single week on a quarterback who's being paid like $10 million this year or maybe $40 million he's being paid. And he's not going to be taking up, and he's going to be taking up a spot, and he's not going to be playing at all. I mean, it's arguably the worst use of a roster spot in the history of professional football relative to the salary cap space and what production you're going to get from him. And so they're going to have to do that. And I guess he'll just be on the bench in a hoodie and be maybe talked about, maybe not talked about, but the league is apparently content to let this stuff run its course and then make a decision as to what they're going to do. At this point, the best guess is that the NFL doesn't want to, attempt to punish Deshaun Watson beforehand and then have, whatever ends up being the outcome in the proceedings be much worse. You know, if the FBI steps in or something like that and goes after him. Just hypothetically. And that's my best guess as to why they're not doing anything, but they appear content not to.
All right, which leads me to this. So you've made the point that, yeah, this is a terrible use of a roster spot. Now, teams have approached the Texans about trading for Deshaun Watson.
According to Drew Rosenhaus, the Dolphins are in the middle of negotiations with them.
So if I'm the Texans, don't I just have to go, all right, I got to sell low. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to ever play for me. He's making all this money. And first of all, the league has to be happy he's on the Texans because they're never going to be on TV. I mean, it's going to be blacked out. Do they still black out games locally? And so I don't even know if they do that anymore. But, they're never going to be on national TV. And if they are, it's Monday Night Football. Who cares? And so, like, if I'm the Texans, if you're the GM of the Texans, aren't you kind of just like
Nick Caserio?
If you're Nick Caserio, are you just like, all right, what are you going to give me? Here you go.
Yeah, the problem is, I would guess, I mean, is the league going to let them trade him right now? Because I think that's where the league might actually step in and say, no, you're not orchestrating a trade with this hanging over this guy's head. There's too much going on. There'll be too many headlines, blah, 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 blah.
How is that fair if you're the Texans, though? I mean, okay, you know, obviously this is something very important, but if they're not going to step in and make some sort of proactive punishment or move or put him on some list, then how is that fair to the Texans? If they've got an offer sitting there and it hurts their team having him take up a roster spot, that just seems wildly unfair. That would be a good case for them to complain.
Yeah, it's this is a Boston radio station I'm speaking to that's asking why Roger Goodell and the NFL would do something wildly unfair to an NFL team, right?
That's right, he's a clown.
That's right.
You notice as soon as Brady's gone, all that hate of Roger Goodell magically went away.
I mean, is there any chance, because Rosenhaus last week, just like the 30th, I'm looking at the story right here, he said on the 30th, which is just almost exactly a week ago, a little over a week ago, thought that he could be on the Dolphins roster week one.
Wait, did I miss Drew Rosenhaus?
Okay, so Drew Rosenhaus spoke to, okay, I got to find out who this is now, Josh Moser. I got to find out who this is. So Drew Rosenhaus tells me that he, quote, would not be surprised to see Deshaun Watson with the Miami Dolphins for the first game of the regular season. He said that the Dolphins are absolutely working on a deal with the Texans, Rosenhaus told WSVN, amid reports that Miami is the apparent front runner for Watson. This was once again on August 30th, about just over a week ago.
That's so weird for Drew Rosenhaus to insert himself into that situation with that sort of opinion, because he doesn't represent Watson.
Yeah.
And that is very bizarre. That's not really an agent move to reveal that the Dolphins are working on a deal. Now, Charles Robinson of Yahoo had heard the same thing. He's like, please let somebody from the Dolphins come out and issue a statement saying they categorically deny that they're working on a deal for Deshaun Watson. I just think that if you're the Dolphins or the Eagles or the Panthers, whoever would be interested in trading for him, you also don't want to trade for him while this stuff is going on, unless it's just an absolute joke of a buy low.
This is going to be something that you may not know the answer to, but why is this taking so long legally? Like, I don't know. Like, because it's funny. There's so many of these reports that have come out that they've kind of all blended together. So do you know why this is taking so long for them to get any kind of like charges or any kind of like thing to stick?
Well, I think the best possible explanation for that, Mike Garofalo reported, it feels like 10 years ago, but it was probably like 3 weeks ago, reported that Deshaun Watson wants an NDA, does not want to sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, if he settles with the various plaintiffs and the women in these cases. And that's a problem because then that allows Deshaun Watson to come forward and to potentially clear his name. Either with the NFL, just publicly in general, and also with the NFL's investigation. If he signs the NDA, he's not allowed to obviously disclose publicly, or I would assume to the league's investigation as well, because it's not it's not sanctioned by the government or anything. It's just a league investigation. He wouldn't be allowed to describe the specific nature of what happened in these instances. And if that's the case, then Watson's just going to have to take it on the chin from whatever the NFL gives him, and he's going to have to leave his reputation be in public. Now, and the reason why the plaintiffs wouldn't want to give him that right is because then their names are going to get out there potentially, and he can disclose whatever he wants about all the various incidents. And they will have gotten paid, but Deshaun Watson can talk. And so I think that's probably what the holdup is. If he wanted to settle these cases, I would imagine that he could probably settle all these cases pretty quickly. Again, criminal aspects that have been involved here in terms of the investigations, whether it's the FBI or whether it's the local police. But if you settle all these cases, if you pay off all these plaintiffs, and you have to assume that they filed civil suits and that they're willing to take money in exchange. I mean, that's what they're asking for, right? They're asking for money. So if you give them money, they will probably settle the cases. If he settles all the cases, all the criminal stuff probably goes away. And then it's just a matter of what the NFL does. And so if he's not willing to sign the NDA or do the NDA route, I would guess that's the best case and best to hold up.
All right, so what does this say about Tua? I mean, is Tua this bad?
Yeah.
No, I think it's okay. I mean, I think it's fine for the Dolphins to say, look, you know, we like Tua, but Deshaun Watson is just hope that Tua becomes Deshaun Watson minus the off field stuff, you know?
Right.
Like Deshaun Watson was a top five quarterback last year. And if you're the Dolphins and you think that you can get Deshaun Watson for, you know, maybe not even a full season, but you bring him in, then all of a sudden it takes your team from, ooh, frisky little, you know, playoff team that's sort of building towards something to, wow, you know, they're a threat to win the Super Bowl.
Right. So
I think that's it. I mean, that's you can basically fast forward your quarterback development timeline. I don't think they hate Tua. I think they can win with Tua. But I think, it's like it's your car shopping.
I understand he's an improvement. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that it's this late in the game. These, you know, Tua's going to have to play quarterback on Sunday.
I just think, Fred, they're going to pull the trigger as soon as this clears up. Like, Miami is ready to pull the trigger, and they don't want to invest in bringing in somebody else when they know that it would just be easy because Tua's great.
So they don't like Tua.
I don't think so. I mean, look how they treated him last year.
Right.
Well, there's also probably a pretty good chance that Tua's going back to Houston.
Yeah, that's right. That's probably could be part of the trade as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another problem too. Like if you trade for Deshaun Watson and then the NFL suspends him 6 games, because again, like we don't know what the NFL is going to do. We just don't, and you never do. And they seem to generally just kind of fly by the seat of their pants and be reactionary. And you know, if Deshaun Watson skates on the civil stuff and they give him 2 games, you know, I'm not saying it's Ray Rice situation, but. You know, they don't want to get burnt like they did in the Ray Rice case where they gave him 2 games, video pops out, and they look like fools, and this whole thing blows up. So we just don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they know what they're going to do. And for the Dolphins, you have to be careful because, you know, you might find yourself, you know, with 4 or 5 games, 6 games starting, you know, 2 games, 8 games, whatever, with Jacoby Brissett starting. Maybe you feel fine with that as long as you get Watson, you have to send Tua back. So, I mean, that's another layer of complexity to the situation.
All right, Will. So from the outside looking in, from a national perspective, because you have a big picture type of thought process.
That's right. He's not limited to one market.
With great power comes great responsibility.
That's right. True, yeah. How do you view the Patriots this season now that they have committed to Mac Jones? What do you predict for their success or their record?
I'm pretty high on the Patriots. You know, I think if the Bills weren't in the division, you know, I mean, I just think the Bills are a really good team and a really good roster, and I don't expect a big step back from Josh Allen. Coaching staff's consistent. So, I mean, that's sort of the one bugaboo. But I mean, I think Bill Belichick's going for a – and I thought he was trying to do this last year, but then he had all the defensive players bail, and, you know, Cam got COVID and didn't play very well. I think he sort of wants to throw it back to, like, 2001 Patriots, and you win by running the football. That offensive line's awesome. It's got depth. You know, they have a lot of different pieces at running back, very complementary pieces of each other, you know, and you have enough pass-catching weapons where basically he wants to pound the football, be a physical team, play good defense, and I think that defense will be much, much better than it was last year. Like, I mean, hugely bounds better. And then ask Mac Jones to be clutch and to make third-down conversions to be a guy who makes plays late in the game when his team needs him. And I don't think it's going to be the 2007 Patriots. I think it's the 2001 Patriots or 2002 or 3 Patriots. And, I mean, not speaking ill of Tom Brady, but earlier on in his career, he wasn't Tom Brady. You know,
right.
he was the scrappy, like, souped-up game manager guy who was just incredibly clutch. And that was his calling card. Not that he was throwing bombs all over the field. And so I think that could be potentially what we're looking at, and I think it'll be successful. I mean, you know, it's not the most fun formula in the world, but I mean, if you grind guys into submission like the way the Patriots potentially can, I think it's a playoff team.
All right. Well, Brinson likes the Patriots. Write it down. They're going to be grinding it out Teddy Johnson style. All right. Will, listen to him in his Pick 6 podcast. Read him at CBSSports.com. We appreciate the time.
All right, fellas. See you.
All right, there you go. Will Brinson.
I don't know if I want to hear Drew Rosenhaus speak unless he's slamming some karate boards in half like he did in that one interview.
Especially if they're on fire.
Well, I mean, that was... Can you imagine if somebody like 60 Minutes says they want to do an interview with you and you say, yeah, you can do it as long as you come here and interview me in my karate gi. Oh, yeah!
Does that hand still work?
Yeah, everything's great.
Yeah, that wasn't one like, wow, we hear you break boards. That was Drew Rosenhaus saying, guys, you got to come in here.
No, here's what happens. It's 60 Minutes goes and they go, all right, we want to do a piece on you. We're going to follow you around. We want some, like, lifestyle footage. And he goes, oh, I got lifestyle footage.
Can you imagine being Scott Pelley? Because you can hear him in that clip.
Yeah.
Like, he's this guy. He's, like, very
He's been to, like, war. Yeah, he's, like, interviewed, like, you know, right. Muammar Gaddafi.
And
all of a sudden, it's kind of like Tackleberry, come with me.
And all of a sudden, it's like, you know,
he's interviewed the guy that had to saw off his arm.
Does that hand still work?
Right. Yeah,
I mean, can you imagine? Even says, does that hand still work? Like, all right, jackass.
Yeah, like... He's like he's probably literally interviewed the guy who that movie was about that had to saw off his arm to get out of the to get out of that, and he's like, and Drew Rosenhaus is like, I can smash boards,
light that sumbitch on fire. Watch this.
That was one of the funniest 60 minute segments because I just can't. It was like he like showed up and it was like, I'm going to try on a personality because I'm going to be on TV.
Yeah,
look at me, I'm Karate Guy. Because he did something that like my son did when he was 8. Like he broke a wooden board, which every kid when they're 8 has to do to get their yellow belt or whatever it is.
Yeah, because like if they go, we want B-roll footage of you, and you can go, all right, well, here's me at like my kid's baseball game, or here's me like, you know, putting on a green. And No.
This was.
I'm going to give you something special.
This is when Dr. Steve Brule was like trying to be his cool brother.
Yeah,
you know, I got like 15 skateboards, my own jetpack.
I got a piece of it.
I got my own piece of it. Put all the toppings I want.
I can put on anything I want. Pieces.
He showed up dressed as a karate, a karate gi.
Yeah, well, that's someone that doesn't have a whole lot of introspection going on. That's a person that just is like, why are you taking karate? Well, it's the discipline. Kicking ass.
It's to kick a little ass.
Like, I might be like an agent, but don't lump me in with the nerds. I am a kick ass. I could break some boxes on this son of a bitch. All right. We will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Kutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Deshaun Watson with the Miami Dolphins for the first game of the regular season. The Dolphins are absolutely working on this deal with the Texans. There's obviously holdups with compensation. They want 3 first-round picks, plus that's not going to happen while he has an uncertain legal future. The Dolphins have to make sure that they have contingencies in the event that these legal issues become a serious problem. But I do think there's a legitimate possibility that the Dolphins will acquire one of the best players in the NFL in Deshaun Watson. And if he can clear those legal hurdles, man, the Dolphins have a franchise quarterback for the first time since Dan Marino. Oh, yeah!
Does that hand still work?
Yeah, everything's great.
And then he broke the board to emphasize the point.
I mean, there's quite a little thing he throws in at the end saying, and if he can clear all those legal hurdles,
right?
Well, that's a big effing if. I mean, you see, reason there's a massive issue right now.
I'll hand it to Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's getting paid, and he's not giving in. I mean, he's saying, like, I'm not signing away my right to defend myself. So I'll hand it to the guy. I mean, whatever you think of him, the way he's behaving is not the way that you would assume someone who was fraught with guilt and, you know, wanting to get it, sweep everything under the rug.
I mean, that is true. I mean, you hear all the time a lot of people saying when somebody pays off somebody else, what do you immediately say? Well, the guy's obviously probably guilty because they can't talk about it and they can't defend themselves. But in his case, he's saying, I want to be able to tell the world my story. So I'm not going to sign nothing. I'm not going to sign any kind of NDA. So
I think that allows him to say the names of the people that accused, I would imagine, because an NDA would prohibit you from doing that. So if he doesn't sign the NDA, he can name the, he can call the people by name, I would imagine. I don't know if he would.
Well,
I don't know what service that gives him, but it, I mean, it's out there.
That also means that there might be texts or emails that prove his innocence, possibly. Because, I mean, you got to feel pretty confident if you just come straight out and say that.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that he's getting paid. He doesn't have to do anything.
Oh, how weird.
He doesn't even have to put on pads.
So what's that game going to be like? I mean, how much of the camera is just going to be on Deshaun Watson watching that game?
I bet you that the camera is not on Deshaun Watson for more than 1 second.
So you think that that's an NFL edict that they're not going to...
I would agree.
And then also, if I'm broadcasting the game... I mean, is that really something that I want my announcers talking about?
I mean, Fred, there's, you can't ignore that. And I, as much as I know that obviously the NFL will do everything they can to keep their product pristine, you can't ignore it the first game. They're going to have to show
it. Well, it just depends.
They're going to have to show it at the beginning. It depends. At least at the beginning.
If he's inactive, is he on the field? Is he up in the box? Is he up in the box? Where is he? Is he even in the stadium?
Well, they will have to make him inactive.
Well, no, they are going to make him inactive. That's essentially what David Culley did yesterday. Tyrod Taylor's my starting quarterback. Doesn't mean Deshaun Watson's going to dress as the backup. He's not going to play. So, is he in the stadium?
Is he even there?
Yeah. And by the way, good for Drew Rosenhaus, the Scott Boris of the National Football League.
He just
making it all about himself instead of the actual event.
If it happens in South Florida, Rosenhaus knows
all
about
it. Well, I mean, that's just it. Rosenhaus, I bet the Dolphins aren't close, and Rosenhaus, this is like a gentle nudge, not only to get the Dolphins going, but to make sure that people focus on him.
I think Rosenhaus is right, and I think exactly what's happened is that they have come to an agreement, and they said the second the legal part of this is taken care of, this is what you're getting.
Yeah, in 6 months, so whenever that is.
And I think that that's so stupid by the Dolphins. Just so dumb. You got a season to play. You're supposed to be... You spent a... Was it Tua's first overall, right?
No, he was
fifth overall.
Fifth, I think, yeah.
So you used the number five pick in the draft for this kid.
Yeah.
You gave him basically a disjointed COVID season with Fitzpatrick. And now you're going to have this hanging over his head? Like, you got football games to win.
Fred,
you're built to make the playoffs.
They're thinking to themselves, though, no matter what Tua is going to become, the chances of him becoming what Deshaun Watson is are slim.
If I'm Miami and I have a roster that's built to win right now, and I have a chance to get that guy on my team, Tua's feelings be damned. I'm making that trade.
I would make the trade, too, but I'm not... getting all this stuff leaked out and going all over the place and putting things in place in case
they can and can't control that. They want to make sure they're front of the line, because once the legal stuff goes away, they're not going to be the only team interested.
Yeah, but it's not like they're not going to take your phone call.
I understand that, but look, if they have a deal in place right now, maybe the Houston Texans give them pole position. Maybe they won't take other phone calls, and you'll get Watson for cheaper than you would have if there's a bidding war.
I don't know what advantages it is to have a deal in place right now when the legal charges
and
Carolina calls.
Suppose they have the deal signed and sealed and that's the proviso of the deal. Once the legal troubles go away, then the deal automatically gets executed.
I think the reason is, Fred, is that the Texans, as you said, are in no place to bargain. And I think that what happened was Miami came in and said, I don't want you to worry about it. We're going to give you a king's ransom.
Yeah.
We got you. On the condition that as soon as this is cleared up, you take our deal.
We'll give you 3 firsts and 2 seconds and Tua.
I got a feeling that was the discussion right there. You don't worry about Watson. You know what?
Right.
Forget about it.
We'll give you a quarterback that was a top five pick.
Yeah.
We'll give you all these draft picks.
I understand why you do the trade, and I understand the Texans listening to the trade. I just don't know when Deshaun... I mean, it could be the entire season.
Yeah, it could be.
But so what, are you just going to write off 2021?
No, you hope to God that the kid has thicker skin than all of this. You hope he performs well. And makes, well, I mean, makes Flores, his value worthy of the deal.
You know, Flores had to go in front of the team and say, Tua is our quarterback.
Yes. Like, he said, had to, he said course, it to the media, too.
Yeah, but he had to address it.
Sure,
which
he
is
did.
Just, I don't know. It seems like everyone is head over heels for the Dolphins and head over heels for Flores and head over heels for this whole thing. They didn't make the playoffs last year. If they don't make the playoffs this year, we'll see what happens.
Every skilled player on that team would rather have Deshaun Watson than this
team. Deshaun Watson is much better. I'm not arguing that.
You're talking about clubhouse locker room chemistry, and I'm telling you, it's an unspoken agreement among all skilled players that they understand what's going on.
You have a season of football to play where you're supposed to make the playoffs. And you're screwing around with, you know, Magic the Gathering trades that might never, you know, that a magician has to come in and figure out for you.
Although I also think that maybe there is part of the Miami organization that either helped in the leak or is glad the leak is out. Because then you can kind of read the room and find out what the response is on you getting Deshaun Watson. Whether there's going to be an enormous amount of backlash or whether your fans just want to win despite everything he's been accused of. So that news being out there, I have a feeling there's people within the Miami organization who are stepping back and watching how the media and how the fans react.
It's a trial
to
balloon. That's a good point.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All I know is Miami better make the playoffs.
All I know is it'd be really weird if this coming Sunday, Mac Jones was facing Deshaun Watson. According to Drew Rosenhaus, he said that could be a possibility.
That's not going to happen.
Once again, that was, you know, Captain Karate Chop.
Yeah.
So, who's maybe, not even his agent, which I find to be.
Maybe he was trying to break bricks with his head, and he got a concussion.
It could be the case.
He said, I'm taking this next level. Maybe he just lit himself on fire and started doing spin kicks.
Now that I'd watch.
I do think it's funny. Like, I get jiu-jitsu and, like, all that stuff, like, because, you know, the workout and everything. Having seen my son take karate twice, the idea of being an adult in a karate class is pretty funny. Like, what are you going to do with that? Like, what are you going to do?
You're going to break bricks on TV. Or
I mean, it's essentially like a dance routine. I mean, you're doing a dance routine. Karate. I mean, my son went to it, and it was just like, follow the leader, and it's just, kick, da-da-dee-da-da-da.
Little kids' karate classes are some of the most entertaining things I've ever seen.
See, I never got to the fighting part.
Oh, it's awesome. Because you can't believe, like, how violent it is for these kids being, like, 6 and 7. Like, they're kicking the snot out of each other.
See, jiu-jitsu, you learn that, and, like, you could beat anyone up. Like, you carry yourself with this kind of confidence.
Sure.
Like, karate, I don't know. What are you going to do with that?
Look cool with a belt on and a gi. I love saying that, gi.
I mean, there's a reason that Dwight Schrute got his black belt on The Office. I mean, there's a reason that was the character they chose to get the black. It wasn't Jim getting the black belt. It was Dwight. But it is funny. And I would assume if you take karate as an adult, you would have to take it with children, most likely, because I don't see getting enough people in to do an adult karate class. Do you?
There are a few of them. But those are probably, like, also not phrased as karate classes. It's probably, like, self-defense to, you know, save a little bit of your integrity.
Or you learn that, like, Israeli fighting style that all the...
Krav Maga?
Yeah, like, that, like, beat everyone up with. So I'm not dissing the martial arts. I'm just saying karate in general. Like, just the art form of karate, taekwondo, is what I don't understand. Yeah, my kid went to two of those, and I was like, all right, I'm not paying for this. This is... I'm not paying for dance lessons. If he wants to take dance lessons, let him break dance.
So just like his dad.
Just like his dad at Tally Hall.
Hey, listen, there's plenty of cardboard to go around.
There is a video that exists somewhere of me and Matt Dumas at Tally Hall in the food court break dancing for a crowd. The problem...
Hang on, what was the song of choice? Was it Rocket?
The song of choice was a Jam On It by Nucleus.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. If you ask me, could Matt Dumas and I break dance? The answer to that is no. We did not know how to break dance.
Was it probably 10 times more entertaining seeing you didn't know how to dance?
Yeah. Were people giving us dirty looks that worked at the restaurant saying, who are these idiots? Did people think maybe they brought in a group of, like, Make-A-Wish kids or something to, like, you know, do it? It's a possibility. And afterwards, they gave us $20.
Oh.
Like, the woman paid us.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, and my mom showed up with the big Betamax, like, tape recorder. We literally couldn't break dance. I had kamikaze pants on.
You got to have the video, man. You got to find that.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah. Good choice.
Did you do the thing that, what was the guy's name? Not Short Round. What was the guy was in Beat Street and Breaking?
Oh,
I know James, who you're talking about.
James Boogaloo Shrimp?
He's
that
dead.
Guy?
He's dead. No, it's the other
Turbo
guy.
Turbo and Ozone.
Boogaloo Shrimp and Turbo. Yeah, Turbo and the other guy was Boogaloo Shrimp, right?
Yeah.
The thing where he used to press his chin?
Yeah.
A lot of robot.
Of course.
A lot of what we called footwork.
Did you do a lot of snake? Every kid did the snake.
Yeah, not right. I mean, we did it, but
sure,
not right.
Basically, things you're just like humping the floor.
And the backspin was a good, like, 360.
You're done.
Yeah.
But you ended in like a pose, right?
Yeah, but not like as soon as it was over. Like, you did the spin, and then there was a good, like, couple seconds before the pose was
straight. Oh, there was an extra spin. You tried to stay, and then...
No. I not enough momentum for two spins.
Now, was there ever a duo? Did you ever do something with the other guy? Did you ever jump over him or anything like that? Like,
there's a chance that I might have jumped over him because I could have. That's like one of the things I could have done.
What's the arm thing too? Wasn't there like the? No. It was the house party was the
there
one
was
where
like
you
the
you knocked. The
no, that was kid and play. Yeah, that was house right. party. All right. You knocked the feet.
Yeah, a lot of doing the sneakers, whatever that the wave or whatever it was. Like I think of that in my scrotum just like tightens, like I just got out of a main.
So I'm playing the video in here because I'm playing the audio of it, and the video is them in a driveway with a piece of cardboard
of course.
Ground teaching kids, 8-7-year-olds, how to do it.
Is there anything, when we grew up, is there anything harder than break dancing? Like, we all skateboarded in, like...
Skateboarding.
And couldn't do anything. Well, have you watched skate videos recently? It's just... Why try?
I watched the Olympics. I mean, that stuff's just absolutely absurd. Yeah. Those kids from Australia were the Olympics. Yes. Just like, oh my... And I say kids because they're like 14.
But that's like on a course. Like, what these guys do, like, they'll find like a roof with like a like 20-foot gap and nolly and do like pop shove-its over it and 5,000 kick flips. It's like unfair what they do now. Like, at least with Bones Brigade, you could go, like, I could go to the Wallows and just skate around. Like, they just skated around part of the, of Search for Animal Chin. They were just skating around.
Mm-hmm.
Now these videos, oh my God. They'll jump off of something that's like 20 feet high onto a rail slide that, and then like land in a manual and just like hold the man, and you're like, well, okay, like, why aren't you, like, you're the best athlete in the world. Like, that's harder to do than anything in the world, what you're doing right now. I'm obsessed with it, but I show my son in it, and now he has no interest in skateboarding because he's like, I'm never going to be able to do that.
Dude, there is a full-on drained pool skate park right near where I am, and it's empty constantly. And I'm like, when we were kids, that was the dream. To stumble upon, like, somebody who happened to have a quarter pipe or something.
So you could, like, kick and then, like, fakie down it.
Yeah.
Never reach the coping. Yeah,
right.
That was the... Because my friend had a full quarter pipe, and for what reason, I'll never know, because none of us ever got to the top of the quarter pipe.
Have you ever stood at the edge of, like, one of those empty pools? Like, where people used to drop in on? Dude, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's all vert. Like, it's all straight down.
Straight down.
Yeah.
And how do you do that?
I don't know. And those skate pools where there's still like crap at the bottom that you have to avoid, and like,
right, like just like a puddle.
Yeah, it's insane. It's no good. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stack of roosk?
A city council prank for the ages. Nothing good happens when a petition decides your Jeopardy host. And Fred, let's talk James Corden's new shenanigans, shall we?
Mm. Oh yeah, I got sent that a couple times.
Yeah, I would think so. I thought we had to address it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack
985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Ratch. The Stack is brought to you by Insperity, providing scalable HR services, employee benefits, payroll, and HR technology for 30 plus years. Insperity's mission is to help businesses succeed so communities prosper. Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Visit Insperity.com.
One of the things I just can't explain is why I have never watched The Wire. Everybody tells me it's the best show ever made in the history of television.
And you need to know that going in, because I defy you to get through the first episode without knowing that.
And I think that right there is the reason I have not watched the show, is that I have heard it takes several episodes to finally kick in. And unlike Better Call Saul, which ended up being a phenomenal TV show, the first two seasons can drag. And if I knew that before getting into Better Call Saul, it might be tougher to watch. And maybe that's the reason I've never gotten around to finishing The Wire.
The reason The Wire is great is that it establishes all these characters and they all relate. But in order to establish 50 characters, and it changes every season with some core characters.
Mm-hmm.
Still being in it, but in order to create that universe, it takes a lot of time.
Well, I haven't even watched the show, and I can already tell you that if you asked any Wire fan who their favorite character was, I guarantee you, at least in their top two or three, Omar would be the guy. Michael K. Williams has passed away, and he was found dead in his Brooklyn apartment Monday afternoon. It looks like drugs were found in his apartment, suggesting a possible overdose. Obviously very sad. You know what's funny is that when everyone was talking about Omar, and I finally saw a picture of him, I'm like, oh, that's a dude from Trapped in the Closet. The R. Kelly thing.
Indeed. His finest project.
He found, he was the one who found Bridget with
the
midget, because it rhymed with that. And she was allergic to cherries, but there was a cherry pie there. So he said, I sent shenanigans. And sure
under
enough,
the sink.
There was the midget.
There was
ran
the midget.
Around. Which, by the way, Trapped in the Closet. I mean, if you remember when that first came out, just how unbelievable that was. How just like it was the mind of a madman. Just
we devoted a show to it.
How many episodes?
Several shows.
How many episodes were it?
Well, first of all, there was two Trapped in the Closets. There was Trapped in the Closet Part 1 and Part 2. Part 1 was, I forget what the whole thing was. I know there was the Bridget the Midget. And then there was the second one, which, did you get the package? Ooh, he got the package. And it was the same song
right
throughout the entire thing, over and over and over. So, I mean, that's where I knew him from. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, this is when Omar showed up.
Now the midget jumps out of the cabinet and stumps the policeman on his toe. The policeman's hopping around on one leg, screaming, son of a bitch, right, runs under the table. He yells, freeze, and dives over the table and lands on the midget.
So that's just a little taste of what you got from Trapped in the Closet that was there. So, Fred, this came out last week, and you guys may have played it, but I'm sorry. If Fred hasn't heard it, I wanted him to hear this, because these guys deserve all the respect in the world. The Henrico School Board, which I believe is somewhere in Virginia.
Yes.
There was a 3-hour long school board meeting that they were having, in which finally at the end of it was the public comment portion of it, in which you put your name down on a list, they call your name, and you're able to speak. So after the 3 hours of talking about returning to school, there was one woman who spoke. They called the first name and she spoke. And then afterwards, this is what happened.
Yes. Environment, you answer to us, and I'm asking that you do not pass this policy in Virginia.
Thank you so much, Ms. Thomas. We do appreciate you. Phil McCracken. Eileen Dover. Eileen Dover. Wayne Kerr.
Oh, you edited out some of the best ones.
No, there are a couple other. We played this last week.
We had to edit out some of those.
We made the executive decision to leave a few of those out.
The guy with the last name Kadick?
No.
And his first name Donald, but short?
Yeah.
Yeah,
now we had
that
to, and the Ophelia one, we had to leave that one out.
The Ophelia one we absolutely left out.
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Kadick?
Yeah.
Don? And what's great, too, is that I honestly think that the guy wasn't in on it.
No, he wasn't in on it.
No, he had no idea.
That's what's amazing. I mean, I leaned over, you would know immediately. Most normal human beings, once you saw that one, I mean, some of them are very clever. The Kadick one's great. But I mean, I leaned over. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. And he says it like I leaned over.
Oh, yeah. And right. He said it comes out of his mouth that way.
Right.
So I didn't even see anyone else on like the board like laughing, and he's just reading it as if these are real people who are there.
They're so bored.
I know.
And just it's such monotony that they don't even care.
All right, Fred. So you know what, we can do you want to just address the situation this weekend, what happened with Mr. James Corden? James Corden, if you don't know, is obviously Fred's favorite person in the world. Well, he was doing
a married man with children.
He is.
He's mm-hmm. a happily right. married man.
He was doing another one of those segments in which people are at a stoplight, and then all of a sudden they put on a Broadway musical in front of them, and this was the cast of the new movie Cinderella. So it was Camila Caballo, I forget what her name, I pronounce her name, and then it was James Corden was dressed as a mouse, Idina Menzel, and then what's his name, Billy? Who's the Billy?
Who cares? Okay. Anyway, so it's a bunch of people dressed as Cinderella characters, and they go into traffic. And they start dancing around the cars at red lights. And James Corden, who I don't understand his idea of shame. And if there is like anything in him, like how are you that into musical theater? Like what? Like he's dressed as a mouse, and then he starts like doing like air thrusts.
Dry humps the air, yeah.
In front of the cars, and. What did he expect people to go? He thought, oh, everyone will be delighted. Oh, what a magical thing to do for the day. I'll just go out and prance and dance. Meanwhile, people don't like you. Like who likes this stuff? Honestly, how is he employed making millions and millions of dollars? I don't know one person who enjoys James Corden. Not one. I will say this, though. Do they play the Applebee's commercial here with the song, my wife don't like Natty in a cup, we bougie like?
I haven't seen it. No.
I haven't seen that.
Okay. Because
no.
it's a country song that is maybe the worst song I've ever heard.
Okay.
And my mom does like that, so my faith in humanity is running out slowly.
Did you see the James Corden video where I think it was that guy, Vic Berger, I forget what his name, the guy who makes those like videos. He took James Corden walking up to the car and thrusting, but he slowed it down and he played like the music from The Shining behind him. Like it's a horror movie.
Like, he is so full of himself that he's like, people will be delighted. What a magical thing. No one likes it but you. No one likes that but you. No one likes that. No one wants you around them.
Imagine being on the way to the hospital. Someone's like sick or like.
Imagine being on the way to 7-Eleven. Like, get away from me. You dumb mouse costume. You have no shame.
This was great, too. During the big pay-per-view, wrestling pay-per-view, there was a big sign that ended up trending. It said, ban James Corden.
Yeah, no one likes him. And for very good reason. I mean, the arrogance of that guy to go like, oh, this is going to be a phenomenon. Ugh. Cinderella's for little kids. Let little kids watch Cinderella. Don't worry so much about people in traffic. All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a fantastic day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.